This is Morning Air.
This is about educating a people that for 40 years haven't been given the full truth. It's time now to speak the truth.
When you do things to the best of your ability, keeping Jesus number one and doing everything you possibly can for His glory, that's a winner.
You are called to make the light of Christ shine brightly in the world.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day.
This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio.
4 minutes after the hour, it's Tuesday, September 7th. Good morning and welcome to Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverance. Great to be with you once again. Thanks so much for joining us coast to coast here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Hope you had a blessed, wonderful Labor Day weekend and you got to spend some quality time with your family and your loved ones. Remember that September is the month in which we traditionally honor the seven sorrows of our Blessed Mother Mary, with our Lady's birthday coming up tomorrow. Now, this coming Saturday is the 20th anniversary of 9/11, one of the darkest days in American history. We have a special September 11th show planned for you coming up later this week, in which we'll take a look at the events of 9/11 from a spiritual perspective. As always, we begin each hour, every show, in prayer, invoking the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of life and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. Saint Joseph, in this year of Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And every show, we always invoke the Holy Spirit when we pray, "Come, Holy Spirit, come." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Coming up in a few minutes, momentarily, we'll be joined by international Catholic evangelist Martha Fernandez Sardina, the founder of RememberYouAreLoved.com, to continue our weekly Remember You Are Loved series. Today's episode, Love and Treat Humans Like Animals or Not. And later in the show, it's Tech Tuesday, as our tech expert Mark Mastriani will be with us once again to talk about the new devices coming up from Apple. Additionally, Harry Kramer, professor of management and strategy at Kellogg School of Management, will be with us to discuss how we as Catholics are being called to lead in today's society. And we'll also bring you another episode of Glenn's Story Corner. All that and much more coming up this hour here on Morning Air. As we do at the start of every show and every hour, we have our power scripture from the Playbook of Life, which is from 1 Corinthians 2:9. The Apostle St. Paul writes, "What no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man conceived, what God has prepared for those who love Him." St. Paul shares his vision of heaven, which is our ultimate goal after we've run the race and fought the good fight of faith. Heaven is the ultimate prize and our ultimate home. No eye has seen heaven. It's beyond our understanding and imagination, far more wonderful than anything that we could possibly conceive. We walk by faith and not by sight, as St. Paul reminds us, hoping to see God face to face in heavenly paradise one day. And we always pray with great confidence, "Jesus, I trust in you." Our number, if you want to be part of the program, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. And now let's talk about love.
When I say goodbye, it's never for long, 'cause I know our love still lives on. Again, exactly like it was, 'cause I believe in the power of love.
And of course, we all know people who love animals, their pets, especially Snoopy or Kitty Koo, including this reporter. their livestock and even the meat, milk, and eggs that come from them, or not, if they're not, if they're a vegetarian or a vegan or a pescatarian. Some self-proclaimed animal rights defenders, while some treat other human beings like, well, animals, you would say. So are we to love and treat humans like animals or animals like humans? That is the question as we continue with our weekly series with Catholic evangelist Martha Fernandez Sardina, who is joining us now to talk about love. Martha is an international bilingual speaker, teacher, trainer, writer, consultant, outreach developer, and the former director of evangelization for the Archdiocese of Washington, D.C. and San Antonio. She's also the founder of RememberYouAreLoved.com and host of the Remember You Are Love TV series. Good morning, Martha. Welcome back to Morning Air. Thanks so much for being with us once again for another episode of our weekly Remember You Are Love series.
Good morning. Great to be back with you.
Martha, I love the title of this week's episode. What exactly do you mean by love and treat humans like animals or not?
Well, you know, sometimes we do treat people poorly, and sometimes we treat animals so nicely that I wanted to have us reflect on that. You know, so let's talk a little bit about animals first. You said it yourself. We love our pets. You know, there are some people who are real animal lovers. And sometimes you have to wonder if among us, sometimes there are some people haters, right? So I know this is going to be a little tricky for some people who may not get it at first, but hear us out, right, John? Hear us out. We've seen throughout humanity, right, that we have a relationship with animals from the beginning, especially in the Judeo-Christian traditions. We know that God created everything, and he created the universe, and he created animals, and then he created Adam and Eve, and he gave them dominance or dominion over all the earth to care for it properly and so forth. And we have this. We have a relationship with animals, and some are domesticated. They become our pets. In some cultures, not our Judeo-Christian tradition, but in some other religious belief systems, some animals are even revered as sacred, right? We have different relationships with animals as food. You know, some people eat certain meats, some people don't. Some people don't eat dairy with meats and so forth. You know how it goes. And some people are, as you mentioned at the start, vegetarians or vegans or pescatarians. So they don't even want livestock or that in their lives. And then, of course, over the last, I don't know how many decades now, John, we see that the organic food industry has grown. It's in the $1 billion because people are very careful, more and more. People are very careful as to what they eat and how they eat it, whether the food is organic, whether it's grass-fed or free-range eggs, or whether it's wild-caught fish and so forth, because people are careful about their health, and they don't want substances and growth hormones and other health deregulating substances into their bodies. In fact, I've even heard, I don't know if you've heard this, that people want to avoid certain meat products and poultry with animals that have been stressed because of the hormones that they themselves, the animals, pump into their bodies, and then those can affect our health. So that's on that side. And then we have, which you mentioned, you know, our little pets that we love so much, that we invest so much time in, so much energy in, so much love. They're part of the family, right? When they're gone, we miss them. Some people have more pictures of their pets than other people have pictures of their children. Then we have the other group of people who are animal rights advocates. They say that animals have these and these other rights. Many shows, John, TV shows, movies, etc. You see a notice that says that the animals in this movie were treated with, you know, humanely, and nothing was done against human rights and so forth. So back to your question, we have a relationship with animals that varies widely, but we see that throughout humanity, men and women have love, fishing, hunting, meats, products that come from animals, some not so much, and some really, 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 really love their animals as children. So we have this thing of, do we love animals like humans, and do we sometimes, unfortunately, treat humans like animals in the other sense? So that's something I think that can spur our thinking today.
Well, definitely, this is an interesting topic, Martha, because you know, you drive down a street and you see somebody walking their little dog, or sometimes carrying their little dog, and they treat them like it's a baby. And I've seen people literally carrying their dog in a baby carriage. I mean, it's unbelievable sometimes what people will go through. I know in our family, you know, we're big beagle lovers. We're a beagle family. We've had four generations of beagles, and but we love them. They're part of the family. But we also recognize that they're not children. They are creatures. They're a gift from God. And oftentimes we can learn a lot about unconditional love from our pets because the pets, you know, they love us no matter what. We come home, the dog's tail's wagging, and he just wants to say hello and give you a kiss.
Mm-hmm. And they slobber us and they lick our faces. And it's very interesting because we don't want anybody to touch us and let alone lick us, right? And yet we let animals, even other people's dogs, lick our hands and sometimes lick our faces. So it's a very interesting relationship that we have. Now, obviously, lest those pet lovers out there say to you or to me, John, you don't understand that the baby carriage is so that their poor little paws won't get burnt on the sidewalks. Yes, I see that a lot where, you know, people carry their pets in little carriages. And I wonder if it's a substitute for children that they may not have had or that they may have aborted or who knows. But I've also come to understand that it is sometimes because they don't want the little paws to be burnt if they're walking around town or, you know, tourists will do that a lot of times. But it really is so important to people in the United States alone. The pet industry is a $232 billion industry that contributes to the U.S. economy. But on the other hand, as you were saying, they're not human beings. They're not the same as a child that comes from a mother's womb that is your image and likeness. And that's the point, that we are different from animals because we are made in the image and likeness of God. We are superior in the order of creation. We are the epitome, of course, in the order of creation. And God has called us to love human beings in a very, very special way. And there are many ways in which we can define love. And in fact, unfortunately, in the English language, we use love a lot to mean any number of other things that in other languages we would have other words for. For example, we might say, I love pizza. But hopefully, John, you don't love pizza the same way you love Cindy, your wife. Hopefully, you only like pizza and enjoy pizza and whatever other words you want to use. But with Cindy, there is that profound sense of love, that definition that St. Thomas gives us of consistently willing and choosing, desiring the good of another, which is why we can, in fact, love a stranger even, you know, with love of your neighbor, Jesus tells us. And who's my neighbor? Anybody, even the man on the road, right? Like the parable of the Good Samaritan. Because we can and must will and choose the good of another, even in our hearts, by the way we look at another, by the way we relate to another, by the way we intercede for others, by the way we bless others. You know, John, when I'm walking around just for enjoyment or for exercise or running an errand or whatever it may be, I'm often praying for every person that I cross paths with. And I say, bless them, Lord. Bless her, Lord. Bless him, Lord. So that's part of our loving, of going outside of ourselves. And that I don't do with animals. I don't go around saying, bless that little puppy. Bless that little kitten. So there's a dimension of love, of understanding, right, of others, and extending that TLC that we're so good at with animals.
That's interesting that you mentioned about blessing the animals, because come October 4th on the Feast of St. Francis of Assisi, some parishes actually have their families bring their pets, their dogs and their cats, to have them blessed in honor of St. Francis. I know I bless my son regularly with holy water at night. And so, as, you know, oftentimes, you know, after we say some prayers, we'll bless him with holy water. And then Blaze, our beagle, is sitting right there. He's like, hey, I want some too. So we give him, we sprinkle a little holy water on Blaze as well. It's all in good fun. But again, the whole idea is that we have to have a distinction between the way that we treat our pets, our lovable pets, and the way that we treat each other.
Absolutely. I happen to be a member of the secular Franciscan order, or third order regular for laid men and women. So I'm a Franciscan. So I much appreciate the love that God has instilled in human beings for the rest of creation. Don't get me wrong. But I don't go around saying to the Lord when I'm walking down the beach or down a mall, Lord, bless that dog, bless that cat, or bless whatever, bless those birds. Although I do rejoice in looking at creation, especially now that I mentioned birds. I love when I see birds flying around, when I see pigeons, I'm intrigued by them, by their behavior. So yes, it's a good thing that we ask God to bless all of creation, but I am particularly sensitive when I cross paths with people, looking people in the eyes, noticing if there might be a sadness in someone's heart. In fact, yesterday I was walking and I crossed somebody and I just said hello. And then I just stopped and we got talking. And next thing you know, we were talking for 15 minutes. And this person is going through a rough time right now. And this person is needing housing because they lost their housing. And this person has just applied for a better paying job within the corporation that she's working at. And so we talked about the Lord. We talked about prayer. We talked about expecting good things. I shared how Our Lady interceded at the wedding, the Feast of Cana, and the water was turned into wine. And I shared how we Catholics, why we pray to Mary that way. And so it was a love encounter, as I call them, John. And it was a moment in which I was able to extend myself to another person, to care, to desire, to will the good of that other person. And I've prayed several times now for her since. And so that's what we're called to do. It's stepping out of ourselves and into the world of another, allowing that other person, whether it's a family member, whether it's a friend, whether it's a coworker, whether it's a stranger, letting them know that on this side, there's someone who noticed them, someone who is interested in them, someone who is able to extend to them that love that we see, as we said, that so many of us are capable of extending, that care, that concern that we're capable of extending even to our pets and other people's pets. Just like when you're walking, maybe you're walking for exercise and somebody else's beagle, you stop and you take the time to pat the dog. Why is it, John? That's the question that I'm encouraging us to ponder and pray through throughout this week. Why is it that I don't stop and see another as a brother, as a sister, as a neighbor? Why don't I stop and take a little time to love somebody new today?
So basically, the idea is that we should treat our fellow brothers and sisters at least as well as we, or better than we treat animals, than we treat Snoopy and Kitty Koo.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Minimally, as well as we do our pets. And of course, 100 zillion times more. Knowing, John, that the most important thing in regards to our life is our eternal destination. That which you said at the beginning of the show when you quoted your power scripture, 1 Corinthians 2:9, that which no eye has seen, no ear has heard, it has not even as much as dawned on man, on our hearts, on our minds, what God has in store for those who love them. So our eternal well-being, our eternal destination, our destiny before God, that is what we most should be most concerned about. And that transcends the mortal soul and mortal life of pets and animals and livestock. We human beings were created in the image and likeness of God with an immortal soul and with a destiny, with a destination, which is heaven. And so you and I need to be especially concerned about the rights of human beings here on earth, the well-being of human beings here on earth, and most especially, the passage from this life to the next, so that we make it home, so that we make it to the presence of God our Father, so that we might all enjoy that unconceivable love that has no end in the presence of God. And that's what I say to pet lovers. If you have a hard time loving and treating someone as the Lord has commanded us, besides looking at the example of Jesus Christ himself and of the saints and the martyrs as an inspiration and as our primary model, besides looking at that, look at your own capacity, pet lovers, for love expressed in those humane and mundane ways in which you are committed and you invest so much in your own pets. See the ways in which you can extend yourself and with that innate capacity of yours to love and to care and to share, and bring that to somebody else. Be more human and more humane, more caring, more kind, more gentle, more compassionate toward other human beings. Love them. Invest yourself in them, in their emotional well-being, in their psychological wealth, in their overall well-being. That's what I would say to pet lovers who have a hard time being human lovers. And to human lovers who don't like pets, I'd say, hey, there's a nice beagle somewhere to be loved.
Absolutely. About a minute left. Martha, closing thought.
Loving is the greatest thing we can do. That is one of the things that most makes us like God. To love well, to love daily, to extend ourselves, to will the good of another is something that makes us more human. So let's love and treat humans, not like animals, but like humans. Let's treat humans the way God wants. Let's learn about all the ways in which we can extend ourselves to another, offer tender, loving care to as many people as possible every day, starting today. Don't just pass people by without giving them a pat on the shoulder, without giving them a word of encouragement, without at least smiling to them, without looking them in the eyes. Extend yourself to someone else and know that we are all equal in the eyes of God. Don't let the enemy separate you from love.
Remember that smiling increases your face value. As always, Martha, thank you so much. Where can our listeners find your teachings?
Again, go to rememberyouareloved.com and to marthafernandezsardina.com. And John, remember, you are loved.
And so are you. Martha, thanks so much. We're going to take a short break. When Morning Air returns, our tech expert, Mark Mastriani, is going to join us to talk about the new devices coming up from Apple and a possible iPhone 13. Stay tuned. There's much more to come on this edition of Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Get connected to the conversation. Call us now at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. You're listening to Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
28 minutes after the hour. Welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverance. I'm glad you could join us. Thanks so much for tuning in here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Coming up a little bit later this hour, Harry Kramer, professor of management and strategy at the Kellogg School of Management, will be with us to discuss how we as Catholics are being called to lead in today's society. Our number, if you want to be part of the show, is 888-914-9149. Now it's time once again for Tech Tuesday. Let's talk about some of the new devices from Apple. 2021 has been relatively quiet for Apple. We've gotten the colorful 24-inch iMac, the improved Siri remote, an iPad Pro, as well as a look at new operating systems that are coming up this fall, and we're all still waiting for some new stuff, including the iPhone 13. When is it coming? And joining us is our tech expert, the longtime Morning Air contributor, Mark Mastriani, to talk about some of the new devices coming up from Apple. Mark is a passionate Catholic dad, husband with 20 plus years of technology, new product development experience for all things faith and tech. You can follow Mark on his new Twitter account at God Loves Tech. That's God Loves Tech. Good morning, Mark. Thanks again for joining us. Always good to be with you on another Tech Tuesday.
Good morning, John and Glenn. Happy Tech Tuesday.
Happy Tech Tuesday, Mark. A lot of anticipation coming up here in the fall from Apple. Should we start with the iPhone 13? Does it look like it's finally coming?
Yeah, I think it will. So let's take a step back and look at what this means beyond just one brand or one particular phone. What is this telling us about ourselves, the greater macro tech landscape? At this point, every September, usually the first or second week of September, Apple hosts a very special event. And you know, based on our calendar, we were anticipating an event on the 8th, it may come no later than the 12th, for a new set of announcements coming from the folks in Cupertino, California, Apple. But let's think about it more broadly. Even in the context of global supply chain disruptions, chip shortages, it seems as though Apple has figured out how to dodge those two headwinds this particular year. In addition, the iPhone is actually behind in three critical areas. You know, smartphones are almost ubiquitous. You know, we take them for granted. You know, the original iPhone came out in 2007, so we're now 14 years into the iPhone era, and about, you could call it about 17 years into the smartphone era. If you look back prior to the iPhone, it was more about the BlackBerry and some other foldable keyboards.
I remember the BlackBerry. My goodness, blast from the past.
And we forget sometimes how important those devices were for communication. We went from having pagers and only phone call and text messaging capable non-smartphones. I won't call them dumb, but they were not smart. Then internet capability was very, very slow and very rare on our in our pockets. And then in the late 2000s, the internet became personal, right? So where are the three areas that iPhones are still a bit behind their current competition? So the three areas we expect improvement in iPhone 13 relative to 12 are first on the screen. Even up until the most recent iPhone, the iPhone 12, which was released September of 2020, there's a notch cut out of the screen where this beautiful piece of glass, corner to corner screen, has a oval interruption on the top edge where the some cameras and some sensors are located. Well, a lot of iPhone's competition have been able to figure out you can hide the camera behind the glass without interrupting the display. You would have a clear piece of glass, and the camera can still take very high resolution selfie pictures, or you can use that front-facing camera for FaceTime and other Zoom two-way video communication, even without a notch in the screen. So right now, iPhone is behind its competitors in the overall number of pixels on the screen itself that it can use for beautiful and useful information. So that's number one, is removal of the notch. Number two is the refresh rate of the screen itself, okay? So on most of our TVs that have been made available through the market in the last 3 years, the refresh rate has increased from about 60 images per second to 120 images per second or better. Right, this is called refresh rate, and it's measured in hertz, cycles per second. So right now, the best refresh rate you can get on an iPhone 12 is 60 images per second, refreshes per second, and it's behind some of its big flagship competitors who already have at least 120 hertz refresh rate. So that's the second area we're very hopeful that iPhone will catch up to its competitors. And the third and final area, as much as iPhone touts its cameras and a lot of its ad campaigns, you know, shot on iPhone, images and videos are beautiful. If you do side-by-side image and video comparisons, iPhone is in the top 3 to 5, but it's not always the number one. It is well known for its portrait mode. Most of what we do on our phones is take pictures of people, and it sharpens the edges of the people, and it slightly blurs the background behind them. Well, that's beautiful. That's very nice, and it's a very common feature on most phones, and it's been very highly advertised for the iPhones the last two generations. The cameras themselves and the automatic processing that go along with the cameras is good, but not great. So we're expecting some improvements on the camera hardware and software behind the scenes. So that's what I expect coming this next week to week and a half. We should get a new iPhone. And there are some news stories about its battery being something special. not just that it's going to have higher capacity, which means its ability to carry charge for a longer period of time, but potentially with this higher capacity battery, there may be the feature that allows your iPhone to charge other devices. So that could be nice if that's your only means of power is your iPhone. And the processor that Apple creates for all of its mobile devices, they make their own chips. So they control that part of their supply chain. Their chips are more efficient. So it's possible that with these bigger batteries, that you don't really need all of its extra capacity for calls and videos yourself. You may need it to charge some of the earbuds or earphones that you're using along with it. And that's what we know so far for iPhone 13.
Great stuff, Mark. And, you know, it makes me just stop and think for a moment. I mean, there are people who still use iPhone 7, iPhone 8, and they're perfectly happy with them. What do you say to those folks who are still using the older models and they say, hey, I can do basically any, all the things that I need to do with my phone. Why spend the money? Why get a new one, an Apple 13 coming up?
There's no good reason. I think Apple's not going to like what I'm about to say. So I don't see a reason to go from no smartphone to an Apple iPhone 13, or to go from if you have an iPhone 6, 7, or 8, that this is the must-have device to upgrade.
Exactly.
There are some great devices out there, and some great ones at reasonable prices. Even Apple themselves have the SE series that are reasonably priced with most of the best technology from the last 3 to 4 years. So there's some great hardware out there if you're dipping your toe in the water into smartphones or kind of a mainstream or technology lagger. That's okay. There's no negative connotation to being a technology lagger. It just means that this probably is not the product for you.
Absolutely. Now, there's also expectations for a few other Apple products coming up here that are going to be announced here in the fall. Can you give us a quick thumbnail on maybe the AirPods, the iPads, the iPad Mini? What's going on?
Yeah, what we learned in June at the Worldwide Developers Conference, WWDC, is that a lot of Apple's products will begin to be more integrated and more useful. iOS 15, it's the operating system that works on iPhones and iPads, will be able to communicate with macOS, which is the operating system on their computers. What does this mean? It means if you put an iPad or an iPhone next to a Mac, you can use your iPad as a third or a second screen next to your laptop computer. Your mouse will recognize that you have an iPad nearby and can extend your laptop screen onto your iPad. It's a pretty cool feature. For those who are learning about software engineering, the young audience members or the parents and grandparents of young audience members, iOS 15 is an amazing way to learn how to code. On iOS 15, there's on the iPad, there is a feature called Swift Playground, and you can actually learn to code and develop apps that can be launched directly on Apple's store immediately after you've finished your code. So there's a lot of great stuff happening. Everything is being slightly refreshed. There's going to be some more iPad colors, some more iMac colors and features, and Air tags, these smart tags that are around that were announced in the spring, will be made more useful using some of the location services on iOS as well.
Mark, final minute, are we going to see a new Apple Watch?
Yes, there is a very strong set of rumors that the next Apple Watch is coming this fall. again, it's going to be an incremental improvement, but what also we learned in that Worldwide Developers Conference is that we're going to have even more health and wellness capabilities built in to the newest Apple Watch operating system, which includes, hold on, meditation and mindfulness. We Catholics know what it means to be mindful, and we call it prayer and meditation. but you can actually get an alert from your Apple Watch that you need to breathe, get up out of your seat, and take a deep breath and meditate. So a lot to look forward to.
And, you know, tying it into our faith, I see people with their iPhones going along with the readings in Mass. I see that all the time. I still do it the old-fashioned way with a missal, but some people prefer to get their readings right from apps, perhaps the relevant radio app and the Mass readings.
There's some great apps out there, and that might be another great opportunity for us to chat again, John, in the next couple of weeks, get a fresh set of Catholic apps to recommend to our Tech Tuesday audience.
Book it. Sounds like a great idea. Mark, as always, thanks so much for joining us. Thanks for the updates and for the education. I took plenty of notes.
God bless you. Have a wonderful day.
Many blessings to you. Mark Mastriani, our tech expert for all things faith and tech. You can follow Mark on Twitter at God Loves Tech. At God Loves Tech. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, Professor Harry Kramer, Professor of Management and Strategy at Kellogg School of Management, will be with us to talk about how we as Catholics are being called to lead in today's society. There's much more to come. Stay with us as Morning Air continues here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Get connected to the conversation. Call us now at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. You're listening to Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
46 minutes after the hour, as Morning Air continues here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app, I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverance. Thanks so much for joining us. Our number, if you want to be part of the program, 888-914-9149. Now, with everything that's going on in our country and in the world, we might ask the question about the type of leaders that we have. Is it time to step up? In this day and age, are we as Catholics being called to lead in today's society? Makes me think of former Major League Baseball manager of the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, Mike Socia, who once said, if you want to be a leader, the first person you must lead is yourself. Our regular contributor, Professor Harry Kramer, is now joining us to talk about Catholics and leadership. Harry's a professor of management and strategy at Northwestern University's Kellogg School of Management and an executive partner with Madison Dearborn Partners, one of the largest private equity firms in the U.S. Good morning, Harry. Good to be with you once again. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Great to be with you, John. Always a pleasure.
Harry, let's talk about leaders. What are leaders lacking in today's world when you look at everything that's going on in politics, in the military, in our church, in companies, even as parents? What do you think is lacking in today's world?
You know, John, I think it's a very serious issue, and I think it's willingness and an understanding that if you really want to be a leader, you really need to step up and to make a difference. Because if you think about all the issues and all the areas that you talked about, John, there is this tendency, I think, for people to say, yeah, those are big issues. Those are really big. And there's this group of people that usually people refer to, John, that's going to solve them for us. It's this group of men and women usually referred to as those guys, right? Some other group of people, as opposed to an understanding of, wait a minute, we are those guys. If we're really called to what we do by our faith and to deal with a lot of the issues that are out there in all these different areas, an understanding of, you know what, I am one of those guys. I'm one of the men or women who's got to step up to do it. Or as I often mention to students, John, you know, are you watching the movie or are you in the movie? Are you going to talk about the issues and the problems, or are you going to actually step up and do something about it? I think there's just too many people waiting for somebody else rather than saying, you know, I am one of those guys.
I love that. Playing or watching the movie or actually participating in the movie, it reminds me of the saying that I've been saying for years. I always bring it back, especially during the Relevant Radio pledge drives, that our Catholic faith is not a spectator sport. We got to come down from out of the stands onto the playing field and get in the game. And I think that that idea resonates with folks. You know, you can't just stand by and watch everybody else lead. Can you talk, Professor, a little bit about, first of all, what exactly does it mean to be a leader? What motivates somebody to want to be the leader, the guy that's setting the pace, that's setting the tone?
Yeah, I think where a lot of people get very confused is there is sometimes this view of, you know what, I'd really like to lead. I'd really like to make a difference. But the problem right now, I don't have anybody reporting to me. And, you know, sometime in the future when these people have to physically report to me and it's on some piece of paper, well, then I'll get started. And, John, as you know, and this is the real key that I mentioned to all the Northwestern Kellogg students all the time, is that leadership has nothing to do with titles and organizational charts. It has everything to do with the ability to influence people. And the only way I know how to influence people is to be able to relate to people. And while a lot of people have very complicated models, John, you can jot them down. It's three words right underneath one another: leadership, influence, ability to relate. If I can figure out how to relate to you in a respectful way, then I can maybe start to influence. And if I can influence, I can lead. So I love your analogy of get on the field, do something about it, not wait for somebody else to do something. And this isn't something you wait until I'm the leader, I'm the manager. No, I'm going to get started right away.
Is leadership something that is taught or is it innate? Is it something that's in our DNA, it's in our gut to want to be a leader? I've heard stories of parents who have said that their little boys showed leadership traits when he was 5 years old.
Yeah, I'm smiling, John, because this is the question that comes up in every talk I give all over the world. And that is, in my mind, first of all, I'll tease and say, I hope you can teach it, or what have I been doing the last 15
exactly.
years? Okay, that's one piece of it. But my true belief, John, is that every single person can improve as a leader. Now, as you well know, John, somebody may be able to improve, you know, 50-60%. Somebody else may be able to improve 300%. Different people have different gifts from God. But every single person, I think, can improve. And I really do believe that the earlier you start, the better. The longer you wait, the longer it's going to take. And again, your comment of, am I sitting in the stands or am I getting on the field and am I doing something about it? And what am I doing, John, to help prepare to get better? This isn't going to just happen through osmosis here.
Professor, what type of leaders do we really need in today's world?
My belief, and I always say, John, I have very, very few answers. I have many opinions. My belief is that you have to have what I'll call four things that are happening. One, I think you need to be self-reflective. And any one of these, you and I can talk in more depth at another time, but I think you need to be more self-reflective, or you and I would call it prayerful. You need to take some quiet time, get away from the crowd, turn off the noise, turn off the gadgets, and I think ask yourself some fairly basic questions, John. What are my values? What is my purpose? What is God calling me to do? What really matters? What kind of a leader do I want to be? What kind of example do I want to set? And at least for me, John, I'm not capable of thinking about these things when I'm doing 10 other things at the same time. But if I take a little quiet time to reflect on this, I think what I'm starting to realize, wait a minute, I'm going to separate out activity and productivity. I'm going to figure out the difference between important and urgent. And I'm really going to be able to get started. And you do this a lot of different ways. I like to rely on St. Ignatius of Loyola and the spiritual exercises. Taking that time on a daily basis to figure out, no kidding around, what is God calling me to do, and how am I going to get something done in a positive way, as opposed to waiting for those guys, somebody else, to do it.
That's such an important point, the idea of being called by God. We all have a specific calling, a specific mission. The question is, how do we discover what that mission is? And I think that that is part of the journey, figuring out what does God want us to do? And we need to be attentive and listen to his voice.
Absolutely. And I think by doing that, by being self-reflective, by taking a little bit of time to think through, you know, purpose and mission, that's well on the way. Then the second one, John, in my mind, is having what I call a balanced perspective. I mean, you and I on the show can talk about any number of things, and usually people have very, very, very strong opinions on something. The problem, John, is they understand their perspective. They have very little understanding of perspectives other than their own. And I really do believe if you're going to be a leader, and part of it is through self-reflection and prayer, is that you start to develop the second component of a balanced perspective. And I believe it's taking the time, John, to understand other perspectives. All right, I like the St. Francis line, I seek to understand before I'm understood. I say that 10 times a day, John. I seek to understand before I'm understood. If you and I are having a discussion, all right, I will try, not always successfully, but I will try to never say, hey, John, I don't understand where you're coming from, because I think that's ignorant. If I can take the time to understand where you're coming from, then I can decide, do I agree or disagree? But I want to have that balanced perspective to truly understand, again, you know, what am I called to do and how can I relate and influence and lead you?
888-914-9149 if you want to jump into the conversation as we're speaking with Professor Harry Kramer, professor of management and strategy at Kellogg School of Management, talking about how we as Catholics are being called to lead in today's society. Professor, can you talk about a few of the areas that you see that's pretty obvious that as Catholics we really should step up and be leaders?
I really believe it's following all the things that Jesus has called us by just reading the Gospels. And when I think about your comment about being a Catholic leader, I think a lot of people say, oh, no, no, I'm a Catholic and I'm a leader. And John, I don't know who told this to me or where I saw this, but I thought something that really had an impact on me when somebody says, am I doing what I'm called to do? And it had an impact on me because somebody said, Harry, if we were brought before a judge and accused of being a Catholic and of what Christ has called us, would we ever be convicted? Okay, I mean, or, you know, yeah, we can say that, but people really wouldn't even know that we're Catholic. You know, how focused are we on living our faith, on setting an example, and doing the things that simply, you know, Jesus has asked us to do, as simple as, you know, loving God above all and loving your neighbor as yourself? Do we do that? Did we study that as a child, but we don't remember it? What example are we setting for others? And I often quote John Andrew Carnegie of the steel industrials, who said many years ago, he said, the older I get, the less I listen to what people say and the more I watch what they do. So what you do, are you going to Mass? Are you receiving communion? What kind of example are you setting for your children, your neighbors? That's what I think of when I think to your comment of what am I really called to do to be a Catholic?
Professor Harry, we've got about 30 seconds left. Literally, time has just flown by. Any area in particular that you see Catholics stepping up, and maybe an area that we need to step up?
I think it's pretty much, John, everything. I think it's, you know, the topic of abortion in my mind is such a great example. Are you watching the movie? Are you in the movie? What example are you setting? How often are you talking about it? How are you getting other people to understand why that is not something consistent with Jesus's teaching? There's a million examples, John, and hopefully other times you and I can talk about other them.
We're going to have to leave it there, but definitely we'll have to pick up our conversation next time. Professor Harry Kramer, thank you so much for being with us here on Morning Air.
Thanks, John. Take good care. God bless.
Many blessings to you. Professor Harry Kramer, Professor of Management and Strategy at Northwestern University, Kellogg School of Management. And now it's time for another episode of Glenn's Story Corner.
With school starting for so many these weeks, our story today, a special teacher. Years ago, a Johns Hopkins professor gave a group of graduate students this assignment: go to the slums. Take 200 boys, all between the ages of 12 and 16, and investigate their background and environment, then predict their chances for the future. The students, after consulting social statistics, talking to the boys, and compiling much data, concluded 90% of the boys had spent some time in jail. 25 years later, another group of graduate students was given the job of testing that prediction. They went back to the same area. Some of the boys, by then men, were still there, A few had died, some had moved away, but they got in touch with 180 of the original 200. They found only four of the group had ever been sent to jail. Why was it these men who had lived in a breeding place of crime had such a surprisingly good record? The researchers were continually told, well, there was a teacher. They pressed further and found in 75% of the cases it was the same woman. The researchers went to this teacher, now living in a home for retired teachers. How had she exerted this remarkable influence over that group of children? Could she give them any reason why these boys should have remembered her? No, she said, I really couldn't. And then thinking back over the years, she said amusingly, more to herself than to her questioners, I loved those boys. John 13:35, by this all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another.
As always, thanks so much, Glenn. Coming up next hour here on Morning Air, Bishop Richard Sticca, the Bishop of Knoxville, Tennessee, is going to be with us to discuss his pastoral letter, Sin and the Worthy Reception of the Holy Eucharist. And you'll meet Father James Wallace, the pastor of St. Paul of the Cross Parish in the Chicago area, who will share his passion for preaching and tell us about Christ's ministry as prophet, priest, and king. Do stay with us as Morning Air continues. There's much more to come on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.